Morning. So we studied about this morning, wasn't it, in our Sunday school lesson, Christ alone, that salvation is found by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Last month, actually marked a turning point, I think, for the family at Maysville. As a family, we prayed nonstop for 24 hours. We prayed and fasted for a whole week. Some of us may have never prayed that much in our lives. Some of us may have never prayed for some of the things that we prayed for. Some of us may have never fasted like that before. But for a week, we were a people of prayer. And my hope and prayer is that we remain a people of prayer. That this would be a spiritual marker in our lives where we leave behind our old ways and we begin anew with new spiritual habits. That in humility and reverence we seek the face of God continually from this point forward. We're already seeing the effects of fervent, earnest prayer. And I believe if we continue to be a people of prayer, this is only the beginning of what we will see God do in our lives and in this community. But as God transforms us into a people of prayer, it's not just the constant, earnest prayer that He's looking for. He's also looking for a prayer offered in faith. Faith is an important aspect of prayer. And so today we're going to begin to look at what people of faith look like, what the life of faith is like. And so let's look at how faith is described in Hebrews. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to focus today in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. If you don't have a Bible, there's probably one there in front of you. I think it's good for us to open up to that in our Bibles and let's read along together. Let the Word is powerful, it's living. God speaks to us through His Word. The Holy Spirit that's in you works along with the Word of God to bring, to illuminate His Word, to help us understand it, and to help us obey it. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare our hearts now to continue in worship and to continue learning from the Lord, from His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessing of Your Word. Lord, Your Word is powerful and living. It cuts to the heart. It is truth for our lives. It is without error. Lord, Your Word gives us hope. Your promises that come from Your Word are things that we cling to, Lord, because we know, as we've read in Your Scripture this morning, as we've sang, Lord, You are trustworthy. And Your Word, Lord, You are always faithful to keep Your Word, to keep Your promises. And so, Lord, with joy, with great excitement and expectation, Lord, we turn our hearts and minds to Your Word and we listen to You. Have Your way in us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read verses 1 through 3. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. There are two words here in verse 1 that summarize what true biblical faith looks like. First, we see the word assurance, and some translations might say substance. It's basically, the word literally means to stand under, to support. Faith is to a follower of Christ as a foundation is to a house. It gives us confidence. It gives us assurance that we can stand. When a follower of Christ has faith, it's God's way of giving them confidence and assurance that what He has promised, He will fulfill. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Now, the word conviction, or some translations use evidence. Now, this word, the meaning of this word is proof. Now, how can faith be proof or evidence of things not seen? How can that be? Look at the connection there in verse 3 and verse 1. He gives an example in creation. He says, by faith we understand the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Our faith is evidence in things not seen. He's asking us to look at what is seen here. He's looking at creation. He gives us an example here. Now, is there faith in seeing? I mean, didn't Paul say we walk by faith, not by sight? Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Of course, Jesus was talking about those who haven't seen Him and yet believe, like us today. But maybe God strengthens our faith in His Word and the unseen by what we are able to see. I think it makes it easier for us to understand this concept as we read Romans 1:20. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says this, "For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made." You see, biblical faith is not a blind faith. It's not some emotional kind of wishful thinking. It's an inner conviction based on the Word of God. And the Word of God says He reveals Himself to us in what He has made. He gives proof. We call this general revelation of God, that we can see Him in creation. The word perceived in Romans 1:20 is the same word used here in Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand or perceive that God created everything out of nothing. See, our faith in His Word is backed up in what we see. Everything in creation points toward a Maker. Nothing came from nothing. Nothing comes from nothing. What we see in creation points to God as creator. When we look at the irreducible complexity of creation, we see the fingerprint of God. Our faith in God's Word is evidence in the things that He has made around us. Our faith in His powerful Word is backed up for what He has made us to see and look at. No, faith is not seeing. But what we see undergirds, it gives assurance of our faith and conviction in God's Word. True biblical faith is an inner conviction based upon God's Word. Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of Christ." You see, the world fails to understand that faith is only as good as its object. And the object of our faith is God. Faith accomplishes things because there is power in the Word of God. We see that there in verse 3 in creation. God spoke, and it was created out of nothing. Now that is powerful. God still speaks to us through His Word. Just as He worked in the first creation, as He spoke it into creation, He now works in us. Just as He worked there, He works in us. In Christ, we are a new creation. We are God's new creation, and He still works and speaks into our lives. When we believe what He says, the power of His Word accomplishes things in our lives. As I said before, faith is only as good as its object. The world has faith in all types of things. Faith in things that have no evidence to back it up, such as evolution. Faith in things that are temporary, such as material possessions. We put so much faith in what we have, our stuff, that that's going to make us happy or keep us or sustain us in some way. We put faith in people. People who let us down. Temporary hope for a moment. And people who are finite. People. We put faith in human beings. You had faith this morning in the transportation system and other people. As you went through Buckingham, which is not a flat county, you went over and up and over hills. And as you went over the hill, you had faith that someone would not be coming in your direction on your side of the road. You had faith in that. You came this morning having faith in the transportation system. And other people to stay on their side of the road. Followers of Christ have faith in God, who is everlasting, who is all-powerful. His Word is living and powerful. True biblical faith, listen carefully, true biblical faith is confident obedience to God's Word in spite of circumstances and in spite of consequences. True biblical faith is confident obedience to God's Word in spite of circumstances and consequences. Basically, God speaks to us through the Bible. As we read His Word, we are hearing Him speak to us. And then we trust in His Word and we obey Him no matter what. Circumstances may seem impossible. Trials and consequences may seem unbearable. The future may look bleak. But we know from His Word that He is trustworthy. We looked at His Word this morning in Lamentations. We've sang about it. He is trustworthy. He always keeps His promises. We know from His Word that He has given us a spectacular future reward in heaven. We know from His Word that His way is best, that He is God, that we are human beings. He is the Creator. We are the created. He is all-powerful, all-knowing. He is our ever-present Father who sees the future and has our best in mind. We, on the other hand, have many limitations. We don't even know what's going to happen this afternoon. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? We don't know, right? We have many limitations to what we can do. God's plan, His way is best. Therefore, we have faith in Him and His Word. We trust Him with our lives. It's a big trust. That's what it comes down to. Are we going to trust Him with our lives? Or do we want to kind of keep control? The writer of Hebrews wants his readers to understand that faith is a very practical thing. Even though the world says otherwise, faith enables us to understand who God is, what God does, what He's done in the past, what He's doing right now, what He's going to do. Faith enables us to see what others cannot see, and therefore enables us to accomplish what others cannot accomplish. It's like those three hidden 3D pictures within a picture. You ever seen one of those? They drive me crazy because sometimes I just can't see it. You stare at the picture and you keep staring at the picture, and they're like, it's right there. You can't see it. You know, and you keep staring, and all of a sudden it just pops out at you. And you like see the picture within a picture. Sometimes it's hard to see it. Sometimes I just can't see it. It's just the same as we all live in God's creation. And yet some have a hard time seeing the fingerprints of God. We all have the same facts. We all have the same evidence. The issue is that we interpret those facts from different presuppositions. We, as followers of Christ, we look through the lenses of Scripture and we see the fingerprints of God and we see how scientific evidence supports what the Bible says. Others look through the lenses of the theory of Darwin and have faith in a theory that cannot find scientific evidence for support. If we truly believe in who God says He is, if we truly believe what God says He will do, if we truly believe what God says about us, right? What He says we have in Christ, we have forgiveness of sin, eternal life, we have a new identity. The old life is gone. We have this new identity in Christ. We have power and peace and joy and sufficiency in Him. If we truly believe His Word, it's going to change our lives. It's going to change our lifestyle. And it's definitely going to change our prayer life. We are going to be a people of prayer if we truly believe, if we truly have faith in who God is and we have faith in His Word. It's going to change us. You're going to pray differently. Last week, I shared an apologetic for the church, if you were here last week. It wasn't for those who don't know Christ, it was for the church, because there's an issue here. Maybe not here in this church, but at large, there are no millions of years in the story of creation. And yet many believers try to fit that into the story of the Bible. We do that because we don't have faith in God's Word. We want to fit in what man believes into what God says. There are no millions of years in the story of creation. And the reason is the fossil records reveal sin. Okay? It reveals sin in the fossil records, that scientific evidence. But God says that after He created the world, after He created Adam and Eve, everything was very good. In fact, it was perfect. So was God saying that sin is very good? Of course He wasn't saying that. The problem is we don't have faith in His Word. And so we struggle with what man says or the world says and what God says. What His Word says. His Word that is without error, powerful, living, spoke through the mouth of God. He gave us His Word. And He fulfills His promises. He is trustworthy and faithful. Our faith is based on the Word of God. Do you have faith in God's Word? Because this is going to determine how you live your lifestyle. It might even determine your future, your eternal future. In verse 2, God gives witness to those who had faith. This whole chapter is full of those who witnessed to us through their example of faith, and also of those whom God gave witness to because of their faith. Look at verse 2. It says, "For by it, that being their faith, the people of old received their commendation." In other words, they received their testimony from God about their faith. God is testifying to us about their faith. The core aspect of faith here is belief that when God speaks, it will happen. When God speaks, it will happen. He spoke and created the universe out of nothing. Faith believes that God's Word can make the invisible visible. For example, it would be like saying, you know what, Buckingham is too hard. No one wants to hear anything about Jesus. And you would be wrong. Because I believe that you haven't lived your life in such a way that someone would want what you have. You don't have any friends that do not know Christ. Or you haven't been building relationships and sharing the gospel. Faith believes God's word that says He is drawing people to Himself. That the gospel is the power of God and the salvation for everyone who believes. And that includes every nation, tribe, people, and language, even the people of Buckingham. God is drawing them. He is opening hearts. And I have seen this. And I have heard it. I've actually had people come up to me this past week or the week before and ask me, want to talk about spiritual things. I didn't even know this person. Yesterday I got to share the gospel with that person. God is drawing people. And this isn't just my testimony. This is the testimony of some others in this church. God is opening hearts and minds to hear the truth, to want what we have, this joy and peace and eternal life, forgiveness of sin, taking away the guilt and shame. There are people who want that. And as we pray and as we fast and we become a people of prayer, a people that have faith in His Word and what He says is possible, what He says He is doing, we're going to see lives of people transformed. We're going to see our lives transformed. We're going to see revival. Let's look at a few examples of faith demonstrated here. I want you to see that the faith of those who were confident in God's Word, who obeyed Him in spite of circumstances and different consequences, each one of these testimonies reveals that belief in the unseen is based upon a promise from God. Belief in the unseen is based upon a promise in God. Let's look at verses 4 through 7. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, and God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. What we see here is that true biblical faith that pleases God is accepted and rewarded by God. First, we have an example of Abel. God had made it clear after the sin of Adam and Eve that it was a blood sacrifice that would cover the sins of Adam. He made it very clear. God killed an animal and put the skins of the animal on Adam and Eve to cover their sin and shame. This was the beginning of the sacrificial system. See, without the shedding of blood, it says there could be no forgiveness of sin, Hebrews 9:22, which all pointed forward from the very beginning. In that sacrifice, it pointed forward to Jesus. You're like, why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Why did He have to shed His blood? What's the big deal here? Well, Jesus became the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice for all the sins of the world. Everything pointed toward that. Now, one day, Cain and Abel, they brought their sacrifices to God. And Abel offered a lamb, while Cain offered the fruit of his crop. It says here that Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God, where Cain's was not. Abel's sacrifice was commended by God. It pleased Him, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. You see, Abel had faith in God's Word. Abel, he took God's instructions seriously and he obeyed God. Now Cain, on the other hand, he offered what he thought was best. It's said by many that Cain was the father of false religion because so many religions today offer fruit as sacrifices to their idols. Now, of course, Cain was religious. He was offering a sacrifice, right? I mean, isn't that good enough? But he wasn't righteous. He did not have faith in God's Word and therefore was not accepted by God. God even told Cain in this story, He says, if you do what is right, you will be accepted. He even warned Cain about his sin, that he needed to overcome it. But Cain was angry, and his sin brought about death. Now, we may not realize it, but Abel's faith in God's Word cost him his life. Abel's faith in God's Word cost him his life. Abel is really the first martyr of the faith. And his testimony lives on today. It says right there in verse 4. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. He died because of his faith. Do you take God's Word seriously like Abel? Do you have faith in God's Word for your life? Or do you have faith in man's Word? Or maybe you're like Cain, and you just live however you think is best. This is my world. This is my way. These are my rules. These are my rights. And I'm going to do whatever I want to do, how I want to do it. That's Cain's mindset. I'm offering a sacrifice. This is what I have. It's what I'm going to give. Or do you take God's Word seriously? Do you have faith as Abel did? Next, we see the faith of Enoch. What do we know about Enoch? Well, Scripture says in Genesis 5:24 that he walked with God. He walked with God. And God allowed him to not see death. Enoch's departure from the world can be likened to what we hope to see when we see the rapture of the church, when Jesus comes back. He was taken up. He was taken out of this world. He did not see death. This is exciting for us. It was exciting for Enoch. It was a reward for him. But this happened because he walked with God. He was pleasing in His sight. You see, when we spend time reading and meditating and obeying God's Word, seeing Him answer our prayers, you know what He does? He grows our faith. He strengthens our faith in Him and His Word. He reveals Himself to us through His Word. And we begin to have more faith. Our faith is growing and growing. Enoch walked with God. Now think about this, before the flood. This was during a wicked and perverse age that was so wicked it brought about the destruction of the world. Total the world destruction. And in the midst of that, he was able to stay pure before God. In a world where almost everyone turned away from God, Enoch walked in faith. Had faith in God. He believed in God. He had faith in God's Word. And he obeyed Him. He obeyed Him rather than following after those around Him. It was Enoch's faith in God that was pleasing to God. It was by his faith that he believed, and therefore he was rewarded. This statement here in verse 6 about faith, it lines up. It lines up with what the two things that was described in verse 1. Look at this. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists. Well, that's the conviction of things not seen, right? We believe in who God is by what He says in His Word. We believe the good news about Jesus for salvation. And we believe that He rewards those who seek Him. That's the assurance of things hoped for. We believe that God promises, and those promises will be fulfilled, that we will be forgiven of sin, and we are forgiven, and we will spend eternity with Him in heaven. We believe that. See, you can't work your way to God. You can't be good enough to please God. You can't have enough good deeds. You can't do enough in your own strength to please God. It's impossible. You can't show someone enough factual evidence, scientific evidence, that would make them believe in God. Remember, we all have the same facts. We have the same evidence. We look at things from different presuppositions. Therefore, it will always come down to faith. Every time. Even though the facts may line up better with God's Word, it's going to always come down to faith in God's Word. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. And it is not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians 1, 8 and 9. By grace, through faith, in Christ alone is how we find salvation. We can't add anything to that, as we learned this morning in our Sunday school class. It's faith alone, in Christ alone. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him or to come to Him. We must believe His Word, which brings us to Noah's great example of faith. Noah gives a wonderful picture. And I love the story of Noah. Gives us a wonderful picture of believing what God says, even though we can't see it or even comprehend it. God warned Noah that he was going to judge the world for sin, right? He was going to bring this worldwide flood and destroy all living things. Flooding. At that time, the world had never seen a flood, much less a hard rainstorm. God commanded him to build a ship, and not just a boat, a huge ship that would carry him, his family, and the animals. Now, can you imagine the ridicule that Noah received from those around him? But it says Noah had faith in God and his word. It says in reverent fear he obeyed God and he built the ark. This act of faith and obedience, again, it says it was accounted to him for righteousness by God. His faith and obedience pleased God. Now we also see Noah's faith affected those around him. Of course it did. Isn't our faith supposed to affect those around us? His faith and obedience helped save his family. But it also says here, look at this, it condemned the world. You see, his faith revealed their unbelief. You might not think this is a big deal. These people around him, they were going about their normal daily lives. Jesus says in Matthew 24:38 that they were eating and drinking and getting married and just doing normal life stuff while Noah was building the ark. And all of a sudden the rains came, the floods came, and it was too late. Noah's faith was proven right by the events that God brought about. But what God promised happened. But it was too late for those who maybe laughed at Noah all these years as he built this huge ship on the land with no water. What are you doing, Noah? You're crazy. You're spending 120 years building this ship. You are crazy. You see, when we have faith in God and we believe and obey His Word, it affects those around us. The righteous standard of God's Word that we live by, it brings conviction on their lives, those around us. Don't we see this in our world today? People around you don't like to hang out with you anymore. Right? They feel judged. Haven't you had people say that? I feel like you're judging me. I feel like you're judging me. You don't even have to say anything. You're not judging them. It is God's holy standard that judges people. Your life becomes a testimony of God's righteousness. Right? God made Him who knew no sin, that's Christ, to be sin for us that we may become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. That we may become the righteousness of God. We become the righteous standard. As we live out our Christ-like life, our Christian life, we become the righteous standard. The Holy Spirit was sent to the world to convict the world of what? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Right? The Holy Spirit brings that conviction, uses our lives to show people. And some people are filled with rage and anger just because of the holiness that they see in the lives of Christians. But sometimes this righteous way of life that the Holy Spirit, that God's Word produces in us. We can't be righteous in our own strength. It's impossible. God produces this in us. And sometimes this righteous standard of living that we live, it draws people to God because they want what we have. They want that. They see peace that surpasses all understanding. In the midst of trials and tests, we have this peace from God. It actually comes from the Spirit that lives within us. We have hope. That no matter what obstacles are in front of us, we have this spectacular hope in God's Word. We have faith that God will be there for us and reward us. People want this joy we have. When the sorrow, we face sorrow, we still have this inner joy. People want that. They see us overcoming our flesh when everyone around us is succumbing to their flesh. Their fleshly desires, their fleshly wants, they're just succumbing to that. They can't help it. They don't have strength. But yet then, well, believers, like people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are able to overcome that. Not by our power, but by God's power. And they see that. And they want what we have. So many times, though, So many times we don't like feeling. We don't like that feeling we get from others around us because our lifestyle is so different. And then we begin to compromise our lifestyle so that it looks a little bit more like the world, so that we don't offend anyone. We begin to lose faith in God's Word just to please man. We sometimes take or add away, or we take or add to God's Word just to justify our lifestyles. Think about this. Noah being the only one in the world at that time continued in faith, believing God's Word, being obedient to God, and waiting on the promises of God to be fulfilled. What an amazing faith he had. Now I want you to get this. But just like Noah had been warned by God, God is bringing about a judgment like never seen before. And he has warned us. Listen to what he says in 2 Peter 3, verses 5 through 7. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. He's talking about the flood. Verse 7. But by the same word, God's word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Judgment is coming upon this world. And just like God commanded Noah, and by faith Noah obeyed, we have been commanded by God. We have been commanded and empowered by God to live righteous lives. To live that righteous life before others. To show them God's standard. To show them God's power to overcome the flesh. To overcome our sinful nature. We have been commanded by God to share the gospel. To share this good news about Jesus with all people. To make disciples. Will we respond in faith and believe God's Word? Will our faith be revealed in our obedience to His Word? Do you have faith in God? Do you have faith in His Word? Do you believe that His Word is without error? That it makes you complete? That it prepares you for every good work? Do you believe what He says about your identity in Christ? Or do you believe what Satan says? Or the world says? Do you believe His promises for your life here on earth and in the future? Maybe you haven't spent time with the Lord, enough time to know exactly what He says about you or what He's promised you. Maybe you've never been discipled, so you don't know how to study the Bible, and you don't know what you truly believe, or you don't know how to share with others. That's why we have discipleship. That's why it's so important that you are discipled and that you learn to disciple others. Because God expects these things of us. These are commands He wants us to obey. And if we have faith in His Word, if we understand, then we need to obey God. There are consequences for not obeying. As the worship team comes, I want you to spend time with God this morning. Let Him have His way in your heart today. Learn from those heroes that we talked about here, those heroes of faith, and allow God to grow your faith. My prayer is that God would transform us into a people who live by faith in God and His Word, who pray in faith, believing God will do what He has promised to do, a people who trust Him. If you've never made a commitment to follow Christ, may this be your day where you understand that we are sinners, every one of us. We've all sinned against God, every one of us. And our punishment is death, eternal death. But God so loved us that He came to the earth Himself in Jesus Christ. Christ came to the earth. He took our punishment of death and sin on Himself, and He died in our place. Think about that. What extraordinary love for someone to die for us. We deserve punishment. He took our punishment on Himself. We sinned, He took our sin on Himself, and He died in our place and was buried. And 3 days later, He rose from the grave, He defeated death, He defeated sin, and He lives. He lives to offer everyone forgiveness of sin, eternal life, if we believe in who He is and what He did for us by dying and rising from the grave. That's what He says, if we believe that. If we confess Him as Lord, that means you repent of your own life, you turn to Him, He's now Lord of your life. He's in control. If you've never believed on Him, if you've never confessed Him as your Lord and entrusted Him with your life, don't let a day go by, because this is the most important decision you will ever make in your life, because it's not going to just change your life today and tomorrow. It's going to change your life forever. So let's worship Him. If you want to stay seated and you want to spend time thinking about your faith in God and His Word and whether you really truly trust Him or not, then just stay seated and pray. If you want to stand and worship, stand and worship. Let's spend time with the Lord and let's ask Him to transform us into a people of prayer, into a people of faith in Him and His Word. Let's worship the Lord.